Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hi, this is Tom Cruise, and your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to listen to this really, really great Sandspanse radio podcast. Wow.
Hey, Jack, this is the President Sleepy Joe Biden, and you're listening to my favorite podcast in the world. Hey, fam.
That shit.
You just asked
Yeah,
you asked if I was a Seinfeld guy.
I think we already speak about this, don't we?
But I was the other day I was thinking about like when I was like first a big time TV guy.
Yeah.
And so like...
This guy watches TV and like Fox.
Mid-90s.
Yeah.
It was all about Channel 10 in Australia.
Oh, man. Because anyway, you got Simpsons three times a night.
Simpsons, Seinfeld, and motherfucking X-Files.
And then, but it was 7:30 slot was always different. Sometimes it was Mad About You. Sometimes it was like Suddenly Susan.
That was my holy trinity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was really funny thinking back to... like, remember when it was like really like cool to spend all your money on TV episodes on VHS?
Oh yeah, and they'd fit like two episodes
at most.
Dolby Atmos.
And
my favorite sound.
I remember buying just a random X Files.
Yeah,
episode.
Yeah.
And it was like, how many times are you going to watch the X Files episodes? I think twice.
Yeah,
which is a lot.
Which is 2 hours
for like an 8-9 year old kid.
Yeah,
yeah.
I remember collecting. I don't know if it was Skybox or FLIR. They were sports basketball company brands, like companies that would do like basketball, whatever. They did an X-Files widescreen collection, and it was like 9x16 as opposed to traditional cards. Mm-hmm. And it was just like shots from the movie. I forget the movie's name, the first movie.
Oh, I can't remember what the X-Files movie is. Isn't this just the X-Files movie?
No, it's called like Future something.
Okay.
They made a second one with Billy Connolly.
That's crazy.
I remember watching it on a plane and being like, I don't know if this movie's real or if this is an X-File. And it was like after the series.
Because remember, what's his name? Doesn't do like an entire season of X-Files. David Duchovny. He's just not on it for a while. And they're like,
yeah, he left because of pay dispute from like 7 onwards. And then, but you know, they made like 2 new seasons like 3 years ago.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And he's back in that show has such a fascinating like trajectory of being like the zeitgeist to the point where like, on one of those fateful nights you were talking about, you would have seen the X-Files both on The Simpsons in that episode.
It was one of the best nights of my life. I love
And then the X-Files. But
I
it's
love
so funny
the Simpsons
that
X-Files
it,
episode.
It just slipped away from the cultural conversation really fast. Future, present, past? No, that's not it. That's something else.
I had a... I guess it was like a TV Week.
Fight the Future. X-Files Fight the Future, I think it's called.
TV Week did an all X-Files guide, and it was them ranking every episode, and it was like a Bible to me. And there was a pull-out poster, and on one side was Gillian Anderson in a bikini.
Oh yeah, I know that
with like
photo.
A swamp monster, and I was too bashful to put that on my wall, so I put the other side, which is a shirtless David Duchovny in leather pants. I had that on my wall
because like,
I was
too
ashamed to have the
You're like, I hope my parents think I'm gay. Yeah. instead of Gillian Anderson's titties.
I don't think I knew what gay was. That's pretty funny.
I didn't think I did either.
I'm sure I got called it a lot.
Oh, I'm sure.
But yeah, I'm sure you
called people it.
Yeah, yeah. I think at that point I had no idea what it was.
How old are you in this scenario?
That's like, I'm thinking like 1994. So I would be like...
Oh, I know what gay was
nine,
then.
Nine?
Yeah, I knew what gay was then.
But I mean like what made someone gay? I don't know.
Not knowing what it means.
Right, of course.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
But yeah, to answer your question, totally was a Seinfeld guy. And when the finale ended, like I just remember like...
1998, I taped that shit. The green... episodes back to back in Australia.
What was the bigger moment to you?
It was the clip show with Time of Your Life and then the finale. But it was held over like 3 hours of terrestrial TV.
They made such a big deal about it.
Yeah.
Do you remember when...
Do you know what? That's kind of like my last memory before 9/11. It's kind of like Seinfeld finale and 9/11. And then I like... From that point onwards, the world was different.
Yeah, and then you figured out
Game Seinfeld finale, worked on Star Wars 2000, and then a year later, 9/11. I can't remember anything after that. That's actually a great run of years.
I spent today...
Besides the terrorism.
I spent today going through like an old shoebox of photos from high school and putting them all into a photo album.
Wow, like a physical photo album
Photos? Because it was just like, I had...
That's very nice.
An empty photo album and just a big shoebox full of loose photos. I sorted it all into like era. And man, you should see the look on my face. That you can tell that kid is watching Seinfeld, you know?
That guy is a Jerry?
That kid knows what gay is now.
You Jerry?
What's that?
You were Jerry in the group?
No, I don't even know what I was.
Yeah.
Who do you reckon you were in your group?
I'm pretty Jerry-coded now because I have like a neat apartment. But that's about it.
Yeah. Who'd you say I am?
There's an element of Kramer with the industriousness of you being like, I'm doing this, like how Kramer just jumps around ideas. Yeah.
All right.
That's good.
Take the Kramer.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to do stand-up next Friday if you want to come watch me do stand-up.
Do you mind if I bring my friend who's a person of color along?
Sure. What's the worst that could happen?
He's known to get a little loud. Sometimes comics yell at him. Can you promise me you won't?
I'll think about it.
Okay. Jerry-coded, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't eat cereal, though.
That is true.
I'm not George. Elaine.
Yeah, Elaine's like... The most normal of the three, of the four of them.
I think everybody is truthfully an amalgamation of all four.
Yeah.
I think George is the most relatable. I think everybody is George, but they don't admit to it.
Right.
Because he says the things that you're thinking.
Sure.
Yeah. It's really funny watching the earlier ones, just seeing like Jason Alexander slightly thinner with hair.
Yeah, it's crazy that like my kids don't. Like they're not.
They don't know what a laugh track is.
Also, they're not slaves to like. Oh, it's Wednesday night. On Wednesday night, we watch Frasier. Yeah, you know what I mean?
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you could go your whole life now without incidentally like crossing paths with an episode of Seinfeld. Whereas when we grew up with terrestrial television, it was like ubiquitous with growing up. Like even if you didn't watch Seinfeld, you knew like Kramer slid indoors.
Yeah.
You knew that Elaine said "Get out." Like you know what I mean? You just knew that. And I knew things like that from other shows that I didn't watch. But now you can like go an entire fandom could pass you by without you knowing even like a phrase from it.
To anyone who doesn't know what they're talking about, I promise I'll try and make this be as quick as possible.
Don't.
But there were five channels when we were growing up, right? It's the five free-to-air channels. So Channel 10, which was the...
Three of them were commercial and two of them are still government funded.
So Channel 7, Channel 9 and Channel 10. Then ABC and SBS.
SBS is like 50-50 at the moment. Oh, not 50-50, but it's some commercial and partly government funded. Then there's the ABC, the bastion of truth, integrity, and my paycheck.
Yep. And then, of course, SBS. Yeah, obviously screening...
Sex Before Soccer.
That's true. And then also...
Subtitle Broadcasting Evangelion. Services. Yeah, South Park, Evangelion, Aeon Flux, Liquid Television.
Which of those channels is the most... Maybe rank them in important level of importance to you as growing up in the 90s.
What age group? Because I was both teenage and child in the 90s.
Okay, you can give me two rankings if you want.
SBS for one, absolutely, because I was like from
1998 onwards.
From like 12 onwards, I was shaped by two things in life: South Park and Evangelion. And that hasn't really changed.
I also was such a big fan of like the Head, Liquid Television.
Yeah, and just I remember just taping like they'd have like cult kung fu movies on, and I would like record those as like pre DVD, and it was the only way to watch like insane like. World movie stuff. They'd have like a Jackie Chan fest. Remember they'd pick like actors and directors.
I was thinking about doing that myself, actually, watching a whole bunch of Hong Kong, because we've got school holidays coming up, so my wife will be at home for 2 weeks.
There's a bunch on Criterion that some of the older Jackie Chan stuff. All the police stories.
I want to
mainline that shit.
Yeah.
My stomach growled. And before that, it could be, it's a toss up between 10 and ABC. Now I only say 10 because of The Simpsons and
Seinfeld. Come on, you put X-Files in there.
I wasn't as like religious with X-Files.
Hates aliens.
No, I don't hate them. Famously big fan of them. There's quite a few in this room right now, actually. More than in your...
Baby aliens.
No, there's like Jar Jar Binks and, you know, people... Anakin's an alien, essentially. He's not from this galaxy.
Sure.
There's a few Anakins in here. And yeah, I'd say it's a toss-up between 10 and ABC because ABC was like Recovery, Tintin, every children's show.
So important.
Rage, like, and Rage shaped my life a lot.
Nickelodeon.
Too. Yeah, you're right. Sorry,
all those shows aired on ABC as well.
Degrassi, yep. Which is massive for me and still a part of my identity.
Yep.
I think it's like this weird... They're the top three, though.
Absolutely.
And Nine? I never watched Nine.
I think Nine is where Frasier was.
I didn't watch it.
Or Seven have Friends? I think
Seven had Friends, and then I think it went to Nine.
Okay, right.
Yeah. I'd only watch Seven when it was like Olympics.
Why you're watching Channel Nine.
Mm.
Hey, it's Saturday. Or is that Channel 7?
Yeah. No, that's Channel Nine.
Channel Nine, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But now you turn on like free-to-air TV here and there's like 70 channels.
What's all like, because they have like a digital
station.
But
Nine has like 10 of them. Yeah. It's like Nine Peach. And you're like, what the fuck does that mean? It's insane. I haven't watched
it. There's actually a channel called Nine Peach.
Yeah, I swear to God, I'm not making this up. Let's fire up the guide right now. This is some classic.
Because I don't even have my television plugged into the area.
Yeah, I don't think so. Mine probably won't work.
Here you go. Go. Oh, okay. Oh, that's my friend. I had lunch with him today.
Your friend you did laundry with?
I had lunch with one of the Gogglebox hosts.
Really?
Shout out to Jad.
What's he do besides...
He runs a restaurant in Parramatta.
All right, so we're going to look at the channels. There is 10. There is ABC. So these are your classics. 7, 9... Then 10 again. Then 10 Peach.
10 Peach.
I wasn't lying. And look, Friends is on there. Look
Friends.
At this.
Oh, so Friends is on 10 now. And then fucking 9 episodes of the Big Bang Theory. No, but look, there's so
many. 10 Bold. 10 Shake.
10 Shake?
Gecko. There's just like insane channels now. ABC Me, ABC News,
there's
SBS.
There's 5 ABCs.
SBS Viceland, which is still so bizarre.
There's SBS Food, World Movies, right?
SBS Food's the hardest channel of all time.
Yeah.
It's the only one I watch.
I've been on that a couple of times.
Oh, have you? I've been in that. Look, 7 Bravo. No idea what that means. So The Simpsons is on 7 Mate now.
What
seven
the fuck?
I don't know. 7 Flicks, Racing.com.
Wait, The Simpsons on the 7 now?
Dude, everything just
Disney
like,
stuff,
I don't know, dude. 9, but that 9 Gem, 9 Go. I don't know what any of these things mean.
They're putting The Simpsons on Channel 9 now.
You can't do that. Then a bunch of like radio stations. But then I think it bounces out of radio and goes back to like, okay, so it's not as many as I said there was. However,
this is
30
fucking heaps.
There is like essentially
like almost 100 digital TV stations.
And they're all just like dog shit very like I'm not sure who is watching this shit.
People that refuse to pay for streaming. People older than us, like my parents, they're just used to it, an ad break.
So my parents have watched, I gave them a hacked Apple TV like 11 years ago for Christmas, so yeah. It had a VPN thing on it, Netflix, and they subscribe to like HBO, Hulu, and Netflix, and they're like so pilled by that they only watch. And even
yeah,
if they watch,
no, my dad does too. But then sometimes they just like when they are just putting something on in the background.
Yeah, right.
They want free to air.
They don't do that shit. Mine are like us. It's pretty they watch way more than me. It's very funny. They're like, oh, have you seen this new SBS? Oh, have you seen this new? And I'm like, no, I'm watching Seinfeld for the 9th time because I finished Curb the other night. In my like 3-season rewatch, and then
had you seen that last season before?
Hadn't seen the last three.
Yeah, wow, sick.
Yeah, they were like fantastic. It was a great time, brother. I'm just gonna resubscribe to
Dad. My dad is because after he asked, he told me like after he recorded last week, my dad randomly on Friday sent me a message just saying there's a One Piece series on Netflix, which is sweet. You know, him it trying rolls. To connect to me, but yeah, also it's like. Yeah, I know. I fucking hate it. Thanks a lot, Dad.
Famously no. Famously but, hate it.
But then he told me that he's watching Foundation on Apple.
Yeah,
Apple
my TV dad's Plus. A huge fan.
Big Foundation head. He said it's patchy and not like the original Asimov books.
Oh, okay. So
that's Chris Levin's review.
Cool. I'll get my dad's review.
Trying to get him to watch Only Murders in the Building season 3. Man,
my folks are all over it.
It's so good. They finally everything works really well. It flows great. Do you know who the new cast members are?
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd. Yeah,
Meryl Streep.
Who plays the victim, and then Meryl Streep, who plays one of
I
the
did know that.
Potential
murderers.
Murderers. Yeah, and then also like Tina Fey's back from the first. Like, do you remember like when like?
Did you know Tina Fey's in the new? What's his thingy? Pierrot.
Oh yeah, totally.
Like the death of
but it's
a
like
knife.
But it's like a horror one, right?
Yeah, or something like they're really leaning into the horrorness of it.
Now that you maybe drink again, should we go do have a crack a glass a bottle of wine and watch all of the Pierrot movies?
Oh hell yeah! Well, it's going to be champagne.
It's very true.
To fill the night
enough champagne. So yeah, but Only Murders in the Building, like season three, like really, really funny, and like and the plot's engaging. Do you remember like when I was talking about the second season last year? It was like the cast met the all of the guests were so fucked up. It was
like good or bad fucked up.
No, bad. Like in one episode, they get a new person moving into the hotel, and it's fuck, who's the chick that was meant to be doing the Barbie movie before Greta Gerwig got it?
Amy Schumer.
Amy Schumer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then who is the model? The model in Suicide Squad who becomes like the
Cara Delevingne.
Yeah, who's like insane and wouldn't leave Megan Thee Stallion alone at a fashion show. That's right.
Just like carrying her around.
It was like at the peak of her being annoying.
So I'm just turning this off now.
That's fine. Leave it on.
I just put on Half a Loaf of Kung Fu, directed by Chen Chi-Hua. Oh,
can you tell me which Stephen Chow movies are on the Criterion Channel?
Yeah, if there are any. Do you reckon there will be?
I hope there would be.
Let's type in Chow.
Because it's a shitload of Jackie Chan. So that's already like... But I always... There's a few Stephen Chow movies I haven't seen. Especially like the 80s ones.
Criterion stuff like comes and goes. They don't have...
None. Okay. None. Damn. Chop Shop. What's that movie? That was fun.
Does it? Good shit though.
Yeah.
It's a good channel.
If you like movies,
seriously, it rules. Yeah, it's a great. Anyone who has Criterion knows the feeling.
So, I wanted to celebrate.
There's no excuse to not be a movie buff.
There's no excuse for you not being a manga buff anymore because you've read Slam Dunk.
I'm what you would call a few chapters into the saga known as One Piece.
How many chapters?
I'm up to like chapter 5.
Okay.
Well, I started this morning.
Okay. But did you, are you like, oh, this is further than I got the first time?
Yeah. I mistook pages for chapters. Yeah. I was going to text you this morning and I was like, no.
I fucking knew it.
I was like, oh, that happened a lot faster than I remember. I was like, oh yeah. In my mind, that was 40 chapters. It was like 60 pages.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, watch this space.
Yeah, it's like it's fun, right? Like even though it's like it's not totally cooking yet. It's
no,
still
so like, it's fine. It's like it's that's what happens with manga like that.
Yeah,
it takes a while.
But I wanted to give you a gift to continue your manga journey.
Really?
I thought you know maybe you are a bit afraid of certain series and you might need a familiar face.
Oh, okay.
To guide you on this journey.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's one of your heroes.
I've only got two. There's Kevin Smith.
Okay.
And Tom Cruise.
You've dressed as neither of them for Halloween.
Oh, the Joker?
There's a fucking Joker manga out
what
now.
The hell, brother?
It's brand new. And Kodansha just published it. It's
what
called
the fuck?
Joker 1 Operation Joker Volume 1.
You read
1.
It?
Yeah.
Is it sick?
It fucking rules.
That's awesome.
It's so stupid.
Yes.
So it opens with Joker and Batman having a fight. At like a chemical lab where it all began. And Joker.
What's it called? Joker what?
One Operation Joker. And you described him what's happening on the front cover.
Is that Catwoman?
No.
Oh, he's got a baby in a bat like cow and Joker's looking like a daddy raising like a bat kid.
So
I hope that's the plot and I hope that's Joker 3.
But how do we get to this situation? They're at the chemical lab.
Time travel? One falls in insurance?
He throws Batman into a vat of chemicals and then
turns
pulls him
baby.
Out and he's a baby now.
That's so good. That's like straight out of Adam West.
Yeah. And
that's phenomenal.
It is like...
Why can't real canon Batman comics be like this?
It's all about him. He goes, oh my God, if I... Because he's, you know, obsessed with the relationship between the two of them. Yeah. He, early on before he throws him into the vat, he's like, I don't want you to die, Batman. However, I'm quite interested in you killing me. But he's like, oh my God, if I don't raise this kid right, I'll never have my relationship with Batman again.
It's beautiful.
So it's him as a single father giving up his life of crime and trying to get him into daycare.
That's incredible.
So he can rob banks again.
That is so good. Did it make you like the character, the Joker again?
No, I've always loved the character of Joker.
Oh, really?
I hate like...
You like Jared Leto. You like what he did with
it. Of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But David Ayer... I didn't like the character until David Ayer had some things to say about it on screen.
Yeah, I wanted to know if the character was damaged as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
I didn't want to find out. I just wanted to know immediately.
Straight up there.
And no one was brave enough to tell me.
Till Sir Ayer.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm gonna read that ASAP.
I burned through it so fast. It's super fun.
Yeah.
So there's three. I didn't realize that there was three. I only thought there was only one on the new releases table at Kinokuniya.
Yeah.
But the there's three new DC manga books.
Oh.
One of them is like a pretty.
Wait, let me guess. Blue Beetle and Black Adam.
Unfortunately,
are they getting the treatment?
Guess again, brother. You're, yeah.
Let's go.
There's a.
I love manga now, fam.
There's a regular kind of Batman book, but then there is a Superman book, and it's about Superman falling in love with Japanese cuisine. So at any moment he gets, he flies to Japan to eat Japanese food.
Dude, that rules.
So I'm picking that up this weekend. Read this and I'll swap you next
week.
Yeah,
that fucking rules.
Yeah.
Damn, that's so sick. So this is volume one. Does this mean this is going to be an ongoing series?
Yes. Yeah. And it's like... It's semi-ongoing, you could just pick up any chapter.
Yeah.
Like, read about the funny antics of the Clown Prince of Crime trying to raise a bat child.
That's but like the greatest Batman plot in forever.
It's so silly and so
that's
fun.
So cool. All right, I'm going to smash that.
I was like, this is going to be so dumb. I was like, this is so dumb and I love it.
Yeah, sick. Yeah, oh, that's awesome.
And it got me thinking because have you got the Batmanga book?
Yeah.
Which is a collection of
it's down there somewhere.
All the different iterations of
some famous characters like Deathman that ended
up
coming into like the Morrison run.
That's
like
a really cool collection. But then
Chip Kidd, I think, curated it all
and did the
new cover.
All the layouts
It's fantastic. It's beautiful.
But then I've got a Batman Black and White collection, and Otomo, who did Akira, he did a Batman short story, and I'll try and find it. It's on my bookshelf, and it is crazy. Like, it has an ending that makes no sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
More Japanese dudes getting the keys to the Bat Kingdom.
It's the only way they can pull themselves out of the hole they're in.
They're in a massive hole, and the answer is manga.
Yeah.
Words you never thought you'd hear me say. No, I've liked manga. But so yeah, I'm like five or six chapters into One Piece, dude.
That's awesome.
Reading on my iPad Pro. But that shit in bed, good. Yeah. Looking real nice. Yeah,
they just dropped Yu Yu Hakusho on...
What's that one?
It's the one that the guy who did Hunter x Hunter did Hunter x Hunter. I've always wanted to read it. Like a fighting...
Oh, it's all fighting on manga. Like shonen.
Yeah. It's been like pretty much out of print.
Yeah, right.
Like if you want to try and get the full run, it's like pretty expensive. I'm tracking everything down. So it's...
What how it works with that? I guess it comes down to the mangakas being like, yes, I want it digitally available, right?
Yeah. And Aoi, who does, you know, Slam Dunk and Real, is like, fuck no. I know that the JoJo's guy was vehemently against it for the ages, and then he was just like, oh fuck it, just put it all on.
I like money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like that, you know that like
people
like,
are gonna buy it.
People in the West are just gonna pirate it.
Yeah.
Unless like there's a way for them to.
Well, like Japan's the only country in the world that's, as we know, like swears by hard copies, and like no one like really buys manga. Like you buy it and then trade it. You know how there's such a big like secondhand manga market, and it's because of like the finite amount of space that someone could actually store that stuff. And there's like manga cafes where people, you just go and read. And but yeah, it's like we've peeled the rest of the world with like, you know, subscriptions and digital that I guess there's like, they have to acquiesce at one point.
And now a word from our really, really great sponsors. Trust me, I know a lot about good deals, folks. And this is a great deal.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Yeah. I bought a bunch of manga this week from a Malaysian seller on eBay. All this like out of print stuff. I was like, wow, how do they have this? Do you know how they have it?
It's bootleg?
Bootleg.
Yeah, that's how.
I spent about $200 on insane bootlegs. No, I think they're kind of cool.
Yeah, I have some bootleg stuff where I'm like, no, I'm actually happy with that.
Yeah, it's like the printing is like just like it's
slightly
it's
off,
fine, but it's off in like a kind of cool way.
I got a nice package when I got home. Speaking of eBay the other day, I got four the original four lobby cards to the film Eyes Wide Shut. Remember, like, they just have photos from the movie in like some older theaters.
Yep.
Yeah, just like they're about that big. They're like slightly
You know which movie I've got the lobby cards for?
Son of the Mask.
Son of the Mask. Yeah, yeah. Baby.
Baby. We've got a I can't wait to like just take a photo. We've got to get.
I have it. It's all in a box in my office.
We're gonna do a photo like Jared Leto with all the knives around him.
Yes, perfect.
And we can do that. Except baby, and wearing the masks. The green mask age.
Fuck, imagine trying to force Archie back into the Son of the Mask costume.
Damn, that's why he hates movies.
He's old enough to learn how to Google the doc's number.
He is now. It's almost like he doesn't want to. The choice is his. Hey, so you told me today you watched Ahsoka. That blew me out.
It blew you off.
Reading One Piece, you watching Ahsoka?
Yeah, everyone in the Discord was jizzing about it.
Mm.
And like it was one of those ones where it's like, the discourse on both sides seemed so over the top. But I was like, I just want to watch this just so I can make my own mind up. And I didn't even finish episode two.
Oh, right.
And I had to build some IKEA shelves today. And I was like, fuck it, I'll put Ahsoka on and see if I can catch up. Episode three and four, loved.
Mm.
Like really, really good episodes.
The space one. The great, man, that's some of the best like space dogfighting shit I've seen in a while in Star Wars. And I loved Ahsoka on the ship in the spacesuit, just doing flips and shit.
Yeah, she's. I don't know if I like her portrayal of this. I don't know. I have no attachment to the character whatsoever. But like, she's not a character I have any attachment to.
Not
which
yet.
Which is funny.
Yeah.
As in like, I'm liking a lot of the other characters in the series, but
she is
there's
not.
There's a coldness to her that.
Yeah, she's not herself.
Right.
Until have you seen the fifth episode?
Yeah, so I saw watched the fifth episode.
So for the second or the last third, with a very obvious costume change for her, is the what she's like that everyone knows, warm and like tapping on the glass of a ship and like being hugging kid. Like that's the Ahsoka everyone knows.
Okay, right.
A purposeful portrayal that she's been like cold and she's normally very hopeful. And what we got in this series, if you like knew the character, was kind of like what Luke would be like if you'd just seen the sequel trilogy, and you're like, who's this curmudgeonly old guy?
My favorite part of episode five is Ahsoka, you know, she has orange skin and the way they've got the head, the kind of
when she's naked.
The head thing, like, so what's it, what would you describe it?
Tendrils?
Tendrils. They look like vinyl, kind of, like a vinyl kind of
like
finish. And so she, like, gets knocked out at one point and then when she comes to, she's, like resting.
Naked.
Resting. She hasn't got like a crown. Crown
it's like
kind
a
of thing.
Thing yeah.
So it's just like it's like her orange skin, her like weird white blue vinyl-y tendrils, and then they decided, yeah, sure, we're gonna have her resting on an orange vinyl couch. So
yeah,
it just
looks,
she just blends into the.
You know, in the
furniture.
Hunger Games, when like the kid paints himself as a rock.
Yeah.
That's her new skill set.
Yeah, camouflage. She's the master of disguise.
9/11 happened. She was dressed as the turtle.
But yeah, I really enjoyed episode four in particular.
Four is amazing. Man, Ray Stevenson's just...
Yeah, even though that the... Like, he's sick in it, and I fucking love the blonde girl that looks like Christina Ricci.
Shin, yeah, she's great.
In Speed Racer. Shin. I should remember that name, because it sounds like Shinji.
Yeah.
But
hate to see her in a hospital room. I hate to see what she does if someone gets comatose.
The witch sucks.
Morgan.
She's like... Like the kind of like she's like an MCU ass character. Like
yeah, she's giving
you know she's like kidnapping Wong in the first 10 minutes of Doctor Strange 3. You know, like,
you know that she's she's very Wanda coded, just doing shit
absolutely.
With her hands.
Yeah. I don't know why they decided to make witches part of this. I guess because it's connection to Thrawn, maybe, but I don't
connection
know.
To like yeah, Clone Wars, Last Jedi. I think what my theory is, they use the Force differently, which we've kind of seen in this, but you see a lot more in Clone Wars. And I think that other galaxy must be like, the Force might be like, they, that's probably like the normal way of using it.
Right.
And that's why they have a connection to that other galaxy and can get it, where they're headed now.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of my theory. I'll wait and see what happens.
Episode 5 did the stuff I don't like it when these TV shows do, which is like, I guess he kind of was a Force ghost, Anakin, which I would have been
like,
okay with.
Was it real? Was it in a head? Was it nowhere? Like, you know, it's kind of up to you to decide. I'm thinking it's a combination of in a head and, you know, she was like knocked out and had to like come to, it's like, you know, it's like the cave on Dagobah. It's like the hole in The Last Jedi where Rey sees all that stuff. It was just, to me, it was just like a classic Jedi mind thing. Like when
I don't mind the context of it. I guess it was just like the fact that it showed you, like, I guess it filled in so many gaps for Rebels. Or was that, were they revisiting scenes from Rebels? Was it, or?
No, not from Rebels, from Clone Wars.
Clone Wars, okay, yeah, right, sure.
Where she's like a, what I loved
at
about
one point,
it,
he legitimately looks like the cartoon character, which is crazy.
The armor. With the short hair.
When he's short, yeah, like the awesome facial animations, so everything good. It was like, yeah.
So I got to say, that was like the best I've seen Hayden act as Anakin Skywalker.
Was he the voice in Clone Wars?
No. One thing I really enjoyed about this was, you don't really get it in the animation because they're like stylized and stuff, but you finally see that the Clone Wars, the Jedi just use like their Padawan as like child soldiers.
Uh-huh.
And like, you don't really get that in the animated series because they're all like kind of, you know, stylized, elongated, but it was like a tiny girl running into battle with just like these dead men around her, and really like added a weight to her being like quite traumatized by that and being like, why do we kill? Like, that for me was like highlight. And just, yeah, seeing Hayden get to, you know, do his thing, it's member berries, yes, but I'm like, I love those member berries. Very cool seeing like in the last year having Hayden Christensen get to kind of take back something that, you know, he was like told he was terrible at and really own it. And I don't know, I found this like such a real Star Wars-y episode of things I love. Like, I love the whales at the end. I love getting like, I thought that imagery was amazing. I think this series budget looks so good.
Yeah, I like it a lot more than a lot of the other series that we've,
I find it's like
from,
got a scale that the other ones don't have so much. Like, yeah, it just feels like, it feels like it's very different to the original trilogy, but to me it feels so Star Wars, especially when Ahsoka was like reborn and came back and was like, trust me with the whales and where they're going. And I really like Mary Elizabeth.
I was
going to
say,
Ezra's so
best character for me.
She's so good.
Yeah. At first I was just angry that she was green. But now I'm like over it.
No, she's great. She has this like, there's like a Leia-ness to her where Leia was kind of just like the straight talker, no bullshit. And just love that portrayal. There's a warmth to it as well. And yeah, I just think it's so cool that Carson Teva is the guy that links all these series together. Just the like chubby X-Wing pilot who's hanging out. Totally. I love that. There's something so cool about that. Loved the Bail. I mean, it's so sad that Ray Stevenson died for a number of reasons, but I'm just like, man, what a very interesting character. Like,
yeah,
battle was
both
so cool.
Both of them are cool.
Yeah, the weight of feeling, like it was the first time in a long time where lightsabers felt like they had like a real weight to them. And I don't know, it's just that fourth episode, the way it looked, I was getting like classic Kurosawa shit, which is very obvious because it's Star Wars, but just felt like there was importance to it. And like, there was a real sense of doom that I haven't had since like The Last Jedi, where everyone fucks up when like Sabine handed over the map and they destroy it. And I was just like, oh, this is fucking brutal.
Wait, did I fuck up? What's Mary Elizabeth?
Hera.
I said Ezra, didn't I?
Ezra's a guy they're going to rescue.
Hera. Yeah. Sorry, everyone, I corrected myself. Hera. No need to tell me on the Discord.
No, don't tell him. But yeah, I really enjoyed the last two. Felt like that's... I think now it's kind of done an ample job of being like, for people who knew who they were, but it's done enough. Like, here's the stuff you kind of need to know. And now it's finally going somewhere.
Yeah, I'm invested in the show now. I'm glad I pushed through it.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Here's the secret.
Yeah, build IKEA.
No, but while in the Dexy Zone... Building IKEA furniture, putting photos back in the photo albums.
Oh, that makes sense.
and then I even built Ahsoka. I built some manga risers as well, so I can have like multiple layers on a shelf. But they're fucked. I got these ones from Daiso.
Malaysia.
yeah, they're bootleg. No,
damn it, Malaysia! Why do you keep ruining?
I think I can fix them.
I can fix him.
I'll let everyone know next week if I fix my mangarizes. But yeah, no, and actually I was like, maybe I was too, if I was too harsh on Ahsoka, maybe I was too harsh on the One Piece show too.
Nope.
And I watched another one episode. Oh, yeah? Half episodes. I'm back. I'm going to watch the rest of it.
Maybe you're just having a bad week.
No, it's just the first, it's the initial investment, yeah. But it's like, yeah. I guess it's like...
I think both shows are very different but similar in the sense where there's a pre-installed fan base but there's also people who have no idea who these people are.
That's why I'm always like, imagine if you just watch the One Piece show without...
I'd rather read it.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
I'd rather read it because you know, they're going to take like...
Definitely read it. It's a million times better.
They'll take like 4 years to make another season probably with strikes. Oh, Netflix have scabs. They've probably got them in the can already.
The problem was, I was like, oh, I really like the Buggy stuff in the manga, the early stuff with Buggy. And I wasn't enjoying it in the second episode that much. And then I knew that the next episode was going to be like Usopp's origin story, which I don't have like super fond memories. I just remember it's a thing that happened that I don't really care about in the thing. And I was like, oh, how good could that be? And that episode was actually like by far the best of the three so far that I've watched.
Yes, yeah, sick.
So, I'm going to be ordering more IKEA furniture in the next week. If anyone wants anything built.
You should start a service where you get the customer gets something built, but you also get to watch something that you've been apprehensive about.
I've got so much unbuilt Lego.
Yeah, this is perfect for it.
Dexy.
Yeah.
One piece. Dexy, mid-tier, like streaming. big budget streaming television.
Lego.
And building something.
Sounds like a fucking dream.
It's a good time.
Besides Hera, who else do you like in the show?
I want to know. So Sabine, is that her? Not Sabine, sorry. What's Hera's kid?
Oh, Jacen, J-A-C-E-N, which is a throwback to the
Heavy Rain.
Jacen! To the it's a throwback to the like
Jacen.
Expanded universe. Jacen Solo was Leia and one of Leia and Han's kids, Jacen and Jaina. They were like twins.
How come his mum's green, but he just has green hair?
Because his dad is Freddie Prinze Jr., a Jedi, human. So he's like a mixed race.
His dad was that Jedi that has the comic series that I read?
Yep.
His
Kanan.
Kanan, yep.
Kanan, who was voiced by Freddie Prinze Jr.
Okay, cool.
Who I'm hoping we get to see a glimpse of in a flashback or something. I want Freddie Prinze playing him. To continue the tradition of having like some of the voice actors making their reverse engineering live action debut, like we had with Katie Sackhoff in Mandalorian.
Yep.
Yeah. So they fucked. She's pregnant, and he dies in Rebels.
How come? But okay, right. So, but where did he have green hair? Or
no, he's a human. So she's green. So the kid's got green hair.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
That's how the shit works.
That's how mixed race works in Star Wars.
I like the droid. That's the
Huang
David. Yeah,
same. I have a feeling we're gonna get him in the Acolyte, that new series that's set like, because he's like millennia years old, he's like one of the oldest droids, so I have a feeling they're putting he's purposely in Ahsoka because we're gonna see him in the Acolyte, that like High Republic series that's getting made, that's set like hundreds of years ago. And then like all the older things that were announced, I have a feeling he's going to be like the connective tissue. He's like the droid that teaches children how to build lightsabers, like Padawan.
Yeah. Look, even though I don't know any of their names yet, I like the character.
I love his design. Now. He's such a cool looking droid. Like there's like a nice old timey look to him to separate him from like the modern droids we're used to.
There's a definite part of Twitter that just shits on everything related to Star Wars totally. Now. And
yeah.
It's funny.
It's very funny.
But
trust me, as a Star Wars fan, it's very funny. I've been looking at that since the special editions. There's been a version of Twitter with people just saying how bad Star Wars is.
But I keep, I'll like, because I've
because this guy loves X.
I've shared.
This guy loves the app X. Me too. And he's always on X.
But yeah, whenever I'm on Dex.
Yeah.
I love Dex, X, and Gex.
Hey, baby.
That's what I should be doing.
Baby, but, I'm Gexing.
But you know when you like you keep seeing someone else's takes on something and you're like, yo, that must be what it is. And I'm like, no, it's not. And it's also not going to be...
No, I don't suffer from that.
Yeah. No. As in like, but you familiarize yourself. Oh. And you're like, oh, that's a general consensus on that.
Sure. And it's not. You realize you're in an algorithmic bubble that's serving you similar sentiment.
But I agree with... I hated most of that last season of Mandalorian. And was not excited to watch more Star Wars stuff if it was like that and not like Andor. But I think like after beyond like the awkwardness of the first episode, I think this is a pretty good series.
Yeah, I'm really happy with it.
And I will accept your explanation that she was purposefully cold. I think that was a
no. It's true. She's great.
I think that was a dumb decision.
No, if you know the character, and I'm sure they'll maybe get into it at some point.
But like, I would argue that 70% of the people watching this show do not know probably the character.
Yeah.
So it's a silly decision in my opinion to make her like cold and distant.
You kind of have to have her though. She was like fucked over and like not a Jedi and like left. Yeah. And so, you know, the white blades, her like wearing gray, that's like not Ahsoka that you kind of knew from the Clone Wars.
How come that dude that she like sliced open like all the, he like decayed.
So I think that the thing was, I was like, why the fuck is there an Inquisitor alive 30 years after, you know, because basically all the Inquisitors are dead by episode 4 in New Hope. There's no such thing. They're all being like killed out. It's just kind of Vader still hunting them down just before the end of like the Death Star gets blown up. And I was like, how the hell is there an Inquisitor still around? So my theory is that he was like, we see someone in the Clone Wars, he was like magicked, because if you watch him when he gets cut, he kind of like shrinks, his arms become shriveled like the Bane in the Batman and Robin movie. Yeah, except so I think he was just like filled with like, I think he was essentially like magicked, like dead. Because it made no sense for Inquisitor to be then around then. He was just kind of this solid, like he just followed orders. So I think it was like something that the Witches of Dathomir cooked up.
Interesting.
Yeah. But man, I just want more on Shin and Baylan. Like I'm like,
they're not, so sick.
They're not Jedi. They're not Sith. He's kind of like,
she has such a like great design.
Their outfits are cool too. They're kind of like this weird older style. They just look so different for what we're used to. I'm just like, fuck yeah, I love those weird, it feels new. It feels very new. Like
and
all the stuff
I liked him connecting to Sabine and then, and then keeping his word.
Totally. And he was like, don't hurt her. Like she's coming with us. And I love that big like hyperspace ship, like when it jumped and those X-Wings got fucked up.
It did get, I love that. That was sick.
So like Last Jedi.
But then it does go lean a little bit like hard sci-fi when they're explaining a little bit about like, there's a few terms I was just kind of like, this doesn't feel very Star Wars-y to me.
Really?
Like, yeah.
Like what?
I guess like, it's like, it's just like them saying like super hyperspace or something like that. Or like,
no, I think they're just thinking about the drive. They're just like, oh, there's so many like hyper drives on this. It's jumping far.
No, there was something. Whatever. Interesting. It was just a moment. I was like, this does not feel like Star Wars.
Interesting.
For a small moment.
Yeah, right.
But when they like hyper drove out of that and like, fucked up all of Hera's fleet. That was crazy. Sick.
And it's nice having that connective tissue too with Mon Mothma from Andor getting to reprise.
Bizarre hand acting from her in her episode.
She doing some of this?
She just had them outreached the entire time she was talking.
Probably not even her hands, just her head.
Yeah.
No, honestly, probably. Yeah. Little Leia reference too. I was like, yes, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, like Senator Organa's covering for you.
Yeah. I know I'm just nitpicking, but overall, I'm enjoying it. I'm totally in for the rest of the
I said this in the Discord, so, you know, people who listen to this free would know, but this is reminding me of kind of like a lot of problems people have with the sequel trilogy is that there's such a huge gap between it and the Return of the Jedi. And that the only reason why that exists is because of how old the leads were.
Uh-huh.
Like it has to be, you can't kind of like not work around that. So this is kind of reminding me, and what I imagine the movie will be is kind of what people wanted the sequel trilogy to be, who weren't into the like the ones we got with Rey and Kylo Ren, but without the original trilogy characters. Now we have like Ahsoka, Hera, all these other people at Mandalore. You know what I mean? I believe.
I really want to catch up with those motherfuckers again though.
Oh, we will.
Yeah.
The Rey movie.
I mean, Daisy
Adam Driver gave an interview this week about like Ferrari, and he's like, oh, I'd play Ben Solo again in a heartbeat.
Really?
He was like, I'll do it. So I'm like, fucking listen to the man. Like, yeah. He wants to do it. Who wouldn't want to do it? He's like the coolest Star Wars character.
But you just got to keep JJ the fuck away from it.
He's done. He signed that huge contract with Warner Brothers.
What's he doing?
He's like, apparently...
Well, he's making a Hot Wheels movie or something, isn't he?
Yeah, he's doing Black Superman and Hot Wheels. Maybe it's the same movie. No, he's like signed when he finished that. Or maybe The Rise of Skywalker was an exemption. He basically is like Bad Robot was bought. He was being shopped between like Disney or Warner Brothers were like bidding on Bad Robot. So now they're owned by Warner Brothers. So he's like exclusively for them.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So watching a lot of TV this week.
Fucking yes, brother.
Started Telemarketers.
Great doco.
Which is a three-part documentary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the executive producers is like Danny McBride and
the Safdies.
Really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty fucked
just
up.
Just like makes you like, go like, can't believe these motherfuckers took a camera to work 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane.
I had to look up if there were, if it was genuine, because it
and
felt,
it is. It's completely genuine. You're just like, fuck. Like, I'm, as you know, I'm working on a documentary at the moment, and it's very lucky because the guy had a webcam, and there's like, I've been given a hard drive from his family of like hours of footage, and he's just kind of talking. You're just kind of like, man, that's very lucky that this thing exists, that it's actually like a relic of its time.
But look, if you're listening and you're like, I can't believe Levins went back on what he said last week and he's watching more Ahsoka, he's watching more One Piece.
Angus is reading One Piece.
Well, guess what, motherfuckers? I also watched the first episode of the third season of a television show that I never wanted to watch another second of again.
Oh, yeah. And I just saw today it's been greenlit for a fourth.
Talking about,
you know what? They didn't announce that until your IP address came up, I think. And you hit play on it. And they're like, ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
So, like, it is a genuinely fun hate watch because it is so absurd that all of these enormous actors are on such a poorly written show. I'm talking about The Morning Show. It's on Apple TV.
It's called Morning Wars in other countries. Or maybe
I think just Australia it's called Morning Wars.
Because we have a show called The Morning Show or something.
Yeah, like an actual morning show.
Wait, doesn't like every country
I know,
have a morning
it's
show?
So weird that ours country was the one that took umbrage.
It's like the Saboteurs and the Raconteurs.
Yes. Yeah.
There's a morning show in Queensland that had the name first.
So the last season, season two, Steve Carell's character, who was Me Too'd in the first season,
drives off a cliff in Italy, which I even know
in,
about.
He's in Italy and everyone around him gets COVID because they decided to set the second season as COVID hit.
Huge move.
In 2020. I was like, fuck, I guess this is how they're going to get him out of the show. He's going to get COVID and die. No, you instead watch an entire season of everyone around him getting COVID, but he never gets COVID. And then in the last 10 minutes of the season, he drives a car off a cliff and dies.
Is it suicide?
No, he falls asleep at the wheel and then suddenly wakes up and he's like plummeting.
Do you think he wanted out of the show?
He had they
did his plot.
They Me Too'd him in the first season. And like he was responsible for the death of a character that he slept with, essentially. And like, what more can you do with a character?
What is this show saying?
It's fucking
like, what's the
bonkers
plot?
Dude. So then, so the first season is about Me Too. Third season is about COVID. Do you want to know what the third season's about?
Well, let's see. There's a pattern there. Is it just global warming?
So they do touch on it a little bit.
Ukraine.
They do touch on Ukraine a little bit.
Okay, wait.
But there is one.
Trump.
Oh, you're close.
On Jan 6.
No, oh, actually a big part of the episode is Jan 6, and I'll get to that soon. But there's a big prevalent force in everyone's lives is this one man.
Elon Musk?
Yep.
You're kidding me.
Guess who plays Elon Musk?
Oh, so when someone plays Elon Musk,
no,
it's not
so
even
okay, okay, all right. So the show opens, the first episode of season 3 opens, and we are watching the obituary for Jennifer Aniston's character. And it says,
is she dead?
Well, no, but she has had to make an obituary for herself because she is about to go and be the first ever newsreader in space. And because a guy who owns...
Are you sure the hard sci-fi wasn't from Morning Wars? True. And not Ahsoka?
Oh, my God. Wait, I'll get to it, man. But the... so they...
What is this show?
There is a fucking...
Do they just look at newspapers and go, yep?
Like, it's like, honestly, it's like that the South Park Family Guy manatee joke. You know what I mean? It's like references. So, all right, there is a Silicon Valley douchebag who owns a tech company.
What's his name? Elon Trusk? Something like that.
Well, I can't remember what his name. No, it's actually a really boring name.
Who plays him, though?
John Hamm.
What? He's too handsome.
Yeah, so John
Hamm.
John Hamm plays the Elon Musk character who wants to send Jennifer Aniston's character to space because he wants to buy the station.
Want to buy the station?
The morning station that the morning show is on.
Want to buy the Morning War station?
Guess who his assistant is?
Male or female?
Female. Let's just say this female may have played a big role in previous HeyFam episodes.
Give me another
It's like the funniest possible woman that could be...
Tig Notaro?
Yeah.
She can land anything. Get her in that spaceship.
Exactly.
If they're worried about that spaceship crashing.
So like, they just kept being...
Tig, I want to buy the news station, but we need to go to space.
Don't worry about it, Don. I can land anything.
So we the
it's news, but it's in space.
So we catch
is he
up.
Don Draper? You know, do you watch Mad Men?
I know.
Does he do that? Is he like pitching it like that?
No, it's a different kind of like. He's a bit more arrogant
it's news.
No, there's no. He's not Don Draper at all.
It's in space. It's called Space News.
So he. So
damn it, Don! You've done it again.
That's what Jennifer Aniston's character is up to. She's like. Because it's all about her and Reese Witherspoon, who are in the end of season one get put together as the hosts of the morning show. And then season two, they split. There's COVID, blah, blah, blah. Mm. Now season three, Jennifer Aniston's character hosts the morning show still, but they're going to send her to space. And then, so they jump forward. So obviously the season two is all about 2020. It's now 2022.
Interesting.
I don't know why they didn't just say it's 2023.
Or one
even. We're 22. I know. But Bradley Jackson, which is Reese Witherspoon's hilariously undeveloped character, Reese Witherspoon is like 40.
Wait, Reese Witherspoon's first name is Bradley.
Bradley Jackson, yeah.
Reese is like a guy's name as well. This bitch is obsessed with boy names.
So she is a like center right. No, center left. I don't know. She's like, you know, she's complex politically.
Centrist.
But she cares about abortion rights.
Okay.
And because she had one.
Sure.
But they like her because they think she can speak to middle America.
Sure.
Reese Witherspoon is like 47 years old, but she plays this character as if she's 21.
Awesome.
And she's still trying to prove herself on this show, despite having her own evening show that she got because guess what happened in between 2020 and 2021?
Jan 6. Yep.
And so she basically reported on Jan 6.
She's
she was there with her phone and she reported on Jan 6 with her phone. And because of her brave reporting, which we never see.
Oh, so she was like not like part of the insurrection. She was there reporting.
I don't know. I guess she wasn't part of it. No, but she was there documenting it.
It's very brave. Her and Ariel Pink.
And because of that, she wins an award for like best journalist in this. Also in season two, they decide to make her gay.
In between seasons as well?
No. We see that happen in real
She's
time.
Gay now. She's gay now.
You gotta
be gay in space. It's called Space News.
So she really wants to do this abortion story about this girl in Texas that goes across the border to Mexico to get abortion medicine for people that can't get abortion surgery in Texas. And
what if we did abortions in space? With Jennifer Aniston.
I mean, and also the ties to just like HeyFam media and things we've talked about. Like,
it sounds like the perfect show.
It's fucking. I do love it. Like, I definitely love this show. It's so
I love
fucking.
The Tignataro's in it.
And like the. The boss of the network is
Billy Crudup.
Billy Crudup, who decided he's not in the Flash movie because he loves this show. I believe in
Dude
the morning
Dude dodged a
show.
Fucking bullet.
Yeah.
I'd rather not be in the Flash movie.
If only the Flash's mom could dodge a fucking bullet too. Yeah.
Story of her life. Nope, there she does, falling on a knife again.
But the other head of the... Well,
getting beans from the store. Is that what she was doing?
Yeah. No, he was getting beans from the store. Oh, yeah. And then because he was getting beans.
Thinking about those beans. Yeah.
But the other like higher up at the network is the lead from Past Lives. Greta Lee.
Yeah, wow.
And she's got really short hair.
Nora.
And she was introduced in season two and they did nothing with her.
Great.
And so what they've done in between season two and three, they've just given her like 10 promotions. So she's like... on par with Billy Crudup's character now, and basically like he does mornings, she does evenings, and so she tells Bradley Jackson, Reese Witherspoon's character, that no, you can't do the abortion story, and it's actually because I care about your career, and I don't want you to turn these people that listen to you against you.
Sure.
She's
making a big editorial call there.
So the night before that, she's about to fly to space.
Is this one episode?
Dude, so much happens in this fucking episode.
Hell.
Jennifer Aniston is like, she meets and hangs out with John Hamm's Elon Musk character.
They fuck.
They go, no, they don't. They go for a fast race in a dune buggy and like, that's too much for Jennifer Aniston's character. And then John Hamm's character is like very arrogant, like, oh, it's going to be a lot faster in the rocket, you know? And she's like, why the fuck am I doing this? Meanwhile, she's been talking to...
Is that really arrogant though? Surely that's truth.
No, he isn't sympathetic to the fact that, like, you know, she's feeling like a little bit like, whoa, what the fuck was that? Because he drove so fast.
I don't know. I'm with him on that one. Like, don't go to space if you can't handle a space.
She's trying to make a deal with Billy Crudup's character about she wants to have like a managerial role because she reckons she saved this streaming network that he started during COVID. And the only reason that it even became anything was because of her insane COVID monologue, because at the end of season 2 she had COVID. But she learns through John Hamm's character that Corey... Billy Crudup's character is about to sell the whole network to the Elon Musk guy. And she's like, fuck this. Why am I even going to space? This is stupid. Then Reese Witherspoon's character calls her and she's like, hey, I'm on my way to Texas.
I'll go to space.
Do you have any... No, she's like, I'm on my way to Texas. Do you know a cameraman because we're going to cover this abortion story? And Jennifer Aniston suddenly is like, that's a really important story. I'm going to go too. And so she goes to Texas.
And Tig Notaro is like, I can land any abortion.
But then we see Reese Witherspoon get off the flight, and Billy Crudup's character is already in San Antonio Airport. And he's like, get back on that plane. And so Jennifer Aniston's character covers the abortion story, and Reese Witherspoon goes back to the fucking space, like the space program, and she's the one going into space. The episode ends with Billy Crudup, John Hamm, and Reese Witherspoon on a fucking rocket with the worst green screen ever. Like, legit thought I was watching like Ahsoka at one point. And they go up into space, and there's like a live feed. Like, everyone's watching this journalist in space, and like everyone in the world is watching it. And they're like, oh, how's it feel, Bradley? And she's like, blah, blah. And then suddenly the feed cuts and something's happened. And that's how the end of the episode ends.
Do you think like North Korea or something? Do you think?
Yeah, sure.
Judging by everything else.
Yeah. But I just couldn't believe it was just ticking so much.
That just sounded like 9 seasons of a TV show.
Yeah. It's like, I cannot believe how fucking high the people who write this show are. They're like, it is the most stupendously insane writing. Apple TV.
No, but I mean, like, who's the showrunner and stuff?
I know it's, I think Reese Witherspoon's production company is involved.
Well, yeah, because they keep giving her
like the 21-year-old role.
The 21-year-old role, yeah. Her name's Bradley.
Bradley Jackson.
That's such an insane name.
And then Jennifer Aniston's character is Alex something. But yeah,
they're like, you need 2 dude names for your characters, ladies.
Oh, that's hilarious. I just looked up The Morning Show on Google, and it came up with Channel 7, The Morning Show, with Larry Emder and Kylie Gillis.
Those are the 2 people blocking.
That's so far. I think it's Larry
Emder. It having the same name.
Larry Emder was the Australian host of The Price is Right.
That's right. That is right.
I heard the production group is... Okay.
Price is Wrong,
created
bitch.
By Jay Carson, and he did... he worked for Bill Clinton. I don't know what he's done with his film and television career. Okay. The Front Runner. House of Cards. He was the political consultant on House of Cards, and then he did The Morning Show. So, like, I don't know. It's not, yeah, it's, but it's like the craziest cast.
It's insane.
And like, of course, they're going to give it a 4th season because
they pay for it.
Yeah, exactly. Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon, Billy Crudup, Mark Duplass is Jennifer Aniston's like PA. Then there's like, you've got Steve Carell, Greta Lee, and now John Hamm, Tig Notaro.
It's just MVP.
Fucking crazy. It's the stupidest show ever made. I love it. I'm in for the whole season.
Damn, I think I am too.
If you met, I don't actually, it'd be almost funnier if you didn't do the first. Actually, no, you got everyone like, if you think my, like, it's insane hearing me describe it, just
watching
like,
it's one,
watch, especially season 2, because by the end of season 1, I was like, maybe this show will end up being good.
You've been waiting a long time, haven't you?
And then season 2 was like monumentally bad. And then this is like, even a step even further stupider.
Well, it's been a bit, man, we are streaming, aren't we? We've been watching a lot of shows.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
I still can't believe you watched Ahsoka.
Yeah, it became a bit too zeitgeisty for me to ignore, I think.
Yeah.
Because all the Anakin stuff, everyone was just like fucking jizzing over it.
So happy for him.
Yeah.
He looks great.
Yeah, except for that scar on his face. What the fuck?
Yeah. Canon.
It was very funny when they play dun, 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 dun,
you're like,
dun,
here we go again dun,
dun, dun, at the end. I was thinking about the end of Rogue One after watching Ahsoka today and how fucking good it is.
Just like,
and how like I definitely like forgot all the things I didn't like about Rogue One as that scene Rogue happened. One's
like, I think Rogue One is such a great, interesting movie too. Like, it's now looking back on it, to me, I'm like, it's so brazen that that was like the second film they did.
So funny.
They're just like, yeah, we're making a movie where everyone dies. And there'll be a really good series 7 years later about one of them.
Yeah.
Who you don't really get much about. Man, you know what's so exciting about Andor season two? With just K2SO and Andor.
Yeah.
It's going to be fucking lit. We saw the units. Lit. Yeah. We saw the units like the arresting people.
Who's the voice of K2SO?
Alan Tudyk. Tudyk? Yeah. Whatever. Cool. Alan Tudyk's.
Hell yeah. You've definitely made that joke before and I love it.
I'm making it again.
And we're talking about Wreck-It Ralph, I think.
That's right. Yeah. Suck it, Ralph.
Hey, if you don't want to suck it, Ralph, you come come join us over at PayFam because we have a massive announcement.
Suck it, Ralph, fuck the internet.
Let's make that our next t-shirt. Yeah. So we have a huge announcement. We have finally made HeyFam merch.
Yeah.
And normally we promote our Patreon as a way to listen to PayFam, as a way to join our Discord. And this week we're also going to add the added benefit of it's the first way you're going to be able to own
t-shirts.
The first ever HeyFam merch.
They'll be sold exclusively via our Patreon at patreon.com/HeyFam. You know, grab them before they sell out, before we take that shit mainstream.
So if you head to patreon.com/HeyFam, $5 a month.
We'll have a password on there that is paywall that you will need to enter the Shopify.
Damn, dude.
Yep.
This guy sucks Ralph.
This guy, I'm the internet and Ralph's fucking me.
But head over to
Patreon. Oh man, I can't wait. Yeah, we're going to talk about, have you seen today, you probably saw all the like bidding things you can do with celebrities.
Oh yeah, let's go through
that. We got to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's our new menu. That's the PDF. Because as per usual, there is a Nintendo Direct an hour after we finish recording, right?
Yep.
Insane.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
I've,
what do you reckon? Star Fox Racing?
I reckon shitloads of ports.
Sure.
I reckon four ports. Anyway, we'll get to it anyway. Let's.
But then Star Fox Racing.
Yeah, definitely Star Fox Racing.
Donkey Kong 64 too.
They're going to announce two new HeyFam shirts.
Two new HeyFam shirts. Yeah. Wow. Oh no, wait, let's not say who's on them. Yeah. I don't want to give it away.
I just had a great idea for a Nintendo theme shirt. Let's talk about it.
Patreon. Let's go back to the sweatshop.
.com/HeyFam. $5 a month gets you a bonus episode every single week, access to our Discord, and the opportunity to, one, find out what our new merch is, and two, buy it before anyone else. So come and join us.
You will be the
in our Patreon.
Bell of the ball as you enter your place of employment.
The bell of Ralph's balls.
Or the family dinner table, or your soon-to-be ex-lover, because they're going to be like jealous, and they're going to be like, where did you get that shirt? And you said, rather than spend $5 on your medication, I put that $5 towards the Discord, which had a password to unlock this.
It's so easy to
access.
I just
thought the password, we should make a very rude word that if you want that shirt, you have to type in something that might be against your beliefs. Maybe a phrase.
All right. Patreon.com/HeyFam. See you very soon.